baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
8 days ago, we did the mailbag.
Yes. Welcome
back.
We
ended it with saying, I'm going to be out of country, and so we're bringing in a guest host. Yep. And then we talked about how we had never missed a cast in 19 months since we started this thing. And then you went and got food poisoning.
How dare I? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was food poisoning or if it was like, I don't know, but I've only ever had food poisoning last like one day before, and this lasted until yesterday. Like I still have a little bit of soreness in my abs, but my brother's laughing right now listening to me say that I have abs, but they're in there somewhere.
I get it. Your guts are short. Sorry. Yeah.
My diaphragm is fatigued from all the dry heaving, so.
So we really do apologize to all of you who normally follow us every single Friday. Adam was in Pukeville, and I was away. Yeah. So we did miss a cast, and our sincere apologies. Adam was still needing yesterday to recover, so we are a day late on the mailbag. Our questions and comments and stuff like that, not as, I guess, what's the word? Plentiful on YouTube,
deep,
obviously,
plentiful,
because we
yeah.
haven't released anything. But we did have a bunch from Discord, and a lot of people sent us messages, so we figured we would get back on the horse and do another mailbag, and then right back to regular schedule of our podcast on Friday. Yep. I'm Scott Belford. Adam Mack here. Welcome
hello.
The walk-off, the mailbag. Look at us go here. Okay.
All right.
We do have a bunch of good stuff to talk about here, so we won't bore you too much longer with our apologies and talking about how sick Adam was, but let's do it, buddy.
You know what's just funny right off the top here is usually over the winter break, we'll like do some like pre-recording of episodes and make sure that we don't miss any weeks, but
yes.
Then sometimes when we get back to it, we're like out of rhythm, and it takes us a couple weeks to kind of get back into it, and I'm worried that that's what's going to happen today. All right, so coming in from YouTube, this comes from Raps for the Win, says, hashtag mailbag. I asked this a while ago on Reddit, but player A is a single away from the cycle. It's his last at bat, and player A hits it deep in the gap. Does he stop at first to complete the cycle, or does he go for the double?
The Jeff Fry conundrum, if you will.
The Jeff Fry conundrum, yeah. This literally, this exact situation happened to a Blue Jays player in 2001.
Three Blue Jays players have hit for the cycle. Kelly Gruber, Kevin Biggio, and of course Jeff Fry. And Jeff Fry, that was the exact scenario that he was in. Cito Gaston talked to him before he went up to hit. And because the Jays were winning by quite a bit, he
winning
said,
big.
Listen, if you hit a double, go ahead and hold up at first. And that's exactly what he did. And I mean, Jeff Fry is now in the Blue Jays record books for exactly that. My personal thought on this, if the game is close, you always take the double.
Mm-hmm.
But
thankfully, it wasn't close, and that wasn't necessary. We do have the interview with Jeff Fry up on our YouTube page. I will link to just that portion of the story in the show notes, whether you're listening to the audio or watching on YouTube here. There
it
will
is
be a link
fun
to that.
Story.
So
it is a fun story.
It's a good time. He's a really nice guy.
He's great. Cranky old man, but really nice
Cranky
guy.
Cranky old man, really nice guy. Okay, so next one comes in from, this is a fun one. This comes from Christian on Instagram. Sent me a link to a story on ESPN. There's this guy on Reddit. I don't know what's up with all the Reddit these days. But he's drawing Mike Trout every day until the lockout ends. So he says, what are your thoughts? Do you have any favorites yet? And Christian's favorite is the... Okay, so basically, before I say what his favorite is, basically this guy and his Instagram... I guess handle is at Did It For The Story. And he's got all the pictures up there. There's like 45, 46 of them now at this point. And basically, yeah, he started out the first week of the lockout. He was just drawing Mike Trout, like famous photos. And they're terrible drawings, right? It's like literally with like a Bic pen. It's black and white. I mean, way better artist than I am. Like,
no, he's a good artist, but it does look, I don't know.
It is not photorealistic.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's very cartoony and humorous. It started out, he was recreating these just like actual Mike Trout photos. And then by the end of the first week, they started getting weird, and they've been getting weirder and weirder ever since. So go check that out. Christian's favorite is
the Titanic one. I love where it's Mike Trout holding Mike Trout at the end of the boat there.
Yeah. King of the world. So that's a really good one. Christian's favorite is there's a Mike Trout version of John McClane in the Die Hard vent scene with the lighter, you know? So that's a good one. One of my favorites is also from the Titanic. It's when Jack is drawing Rose, but Rose is Mike Trout. So that's good. There's a good one.
The Karate Kid one. Yeah.
The Karate Kid one's great. Yeah. Up in the crane kick. I also like there's
what's the name of the Insta handle again?
At Did It For The Story.
Did It For The Story. You guys have to check it out. It's very fun.
Have to check it out. There's a good one of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and they're doing the pottery scene from Ghost. Just, I literally like burst out laughing last night when I saw that one, and my wife was like, what are you? It's like, you won't get it, sweetie.
You're like, this is where we're at as baseball fans. Just leave me be.
Yeah. We haven't even missed the games yet. Yeah. All right. Okay. So this one comes from Jenna on TikTok. She sent me this this link to, I guess, a TikTok of a... This comes from the NBA, Scott. This is the Brooklyn Nets. I keep wanting to call them the New Jersey Nets. But the Brooklyn Nets started doing... what they're calling the Netaverse. Mm-hmm. So basically they've come up with a system where they have like 100 HD cameras around the basketball court, and then there's some computer rendering going on in like real time, and it's like a VR experience for the fans. So, you know, you're wearing your VR headset that you have at home, and you're basically able to just like walk around the court and then get this like real time, it's like a video game experience where you can just stand anywhere, get any view you like.
I know you sent it to me, and it looks weird. Like, it does feel like you're literally watching a video game, mm-hmm. but you're right on the court. Mm-hmm. And I think that as technology advances, this is going to be a big part of sports come the future. I think the potential.
Big part. So Jenna,
incredibly cool.
Jenna asks, well, she says, I've never been to an MLB game, but from listening to your interviews with the Sportsnet crew, sounds like the speed of the game really doesn't translate to the broadcast like it does when you're at the park. Could/should the MLB look into something like this? And then how else could Major League Baseball improve the viewing experience? Other than HD cameras, they haven't really evolved since going from the radio to the TV like 100 freaking years ago.
Well, so they should, but what baseball will do is wait for all of the other major sports leagues to get on board with this and then jump on late like they do every single thing.
Yes, so probably won't be in our lifetime, but I think the potential is really cool. Like, the idea that we could just, like, I mean, as much as VR headsets are dumb, mm-hmm. I'm sure they're really cool. I just can't afford one. But, like, it would be pretty neat to be able to just, like, stand behind Bo Bichette or, like, whatever, and, like, just see the ground ball coming at him from, like, his point of view or whatever. I don't know. Some really cool potential there. This reminds me.
What they should do is put it all online so that every single person with a VR headset is also on the field with you.
And
then
yes.
Watch the fighting take place.
Exactly. It's just a mass of whatever. Yeah, that's probably what MLB will do, is just something weird that will ruin it. I was talking with Taylor Sacedo, a few days ago. Nice. And he was
friend
watching.
Of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Taylor Cicedo. He had made a post. He was watching the Seahawks game on Instagram, and he was watching it on Red Zone. Final week of the NFL season, so he's watching Red Zone. If you don't know what Red Zone is, I mean, Google it, but it's basically the best sports channel of all time. It takes like all the 6 or 8 football games that are going on at once, and there's like one host, and he just basically like tunes into this game and that game, and it's like, okay, the Jaguars are on the goal line, let's go to that game, and then whatever, right? So it's a really good viewing experience, especially when it comes to fantasy sports.
Yes.
So Taylor and I were kind of talking about how the MLB could do something similar, and what we kind of came up with as far as a baseball version of the Red Zone was to have them flip between games that have runners on base, or yeah, pitchers that have no-nos going. Could flip to show home run highlights, defensive highlights.
I love this idea. I would just, if there wasn't a Blue Jays game on, I would just have that on.
That's what I mean. Right? Just like, just
in the background.
Someone in Milwaukee's got a no-no going. Let's just go. Like, yep, they're on the mound. They're pitching in the 8th inning. Let's go check it out. And you don't have to keep track of, like, you know, it does all that curation for you. And then, you know, when they're not pitching and it's like, okay, well, now someone just, you know, has a runner on third in a one-run ball game. Let's go flip over to that, right? Like,
this is one thing I will say. I mean, obviously the NFL has its flaws, but boy, do they ever keep ahead of everybody else technologically and with what they're doing, and providing a fan experience that is far superior to most of the other sports out there. The NBA is also on the cutting edge, but boy.
Yeah.
Us baseball fans all need to wait for every other sports organization to figure it out, and then MLB jump on board.
Well, like, I mean, Jenna's absolutely right. Baseball really hasn't done anything innovative in decades. Like, it's the same camera angles. It's the same experience. I don't know. Anyways.
MLB is still fining their players for being vocal on social media. Like,
yeah. All right. This is another, the next one comes in from Instagram as well. From Aaron says, what are the actual deadlines for the start of the baseball season so that we don't lose games? I've seen February 15th thrown out there as a deadline. Is that as when pitchers are supposed to start their ramp up in training camp? Also, I've seen March 1st thrown out as an option. Thoughts?
So I'm going to make a prediction here. Great question, by the way. So let's go back to 2020 and talk about that 60-game season. Now, spring training had started, and then the coronavirus hit. They shut everything down, and then everyone was just in limbo for the next 4 months. Eventually, the season did get started. July 6th, I think, was the kickoff. They had a 3-week ramp-up prior to the season to get everyone back into shape. 3 weeks was not enough. If you go over the injury numbers in 2020, they were far higher than any other season over the last 5 years by about 15%. And I think a lot of that, obviously this is all circumstantial evidence, but I think a lot of that did stem from not having a proper amount of time for these guys to ramp up. These are athletes at the peak of their human ability,
yes,
and they are still humans though and still need time to get into shape and get to game speed. So I think that my prediction is we do lose some games. I think that spring training will start March 1st. I think 5 to 10 games will be lost, and we'll maybe see 155 game season. And I think the season will probably start a week after it's supposed to, maybe 10 days.
Wow.
I hope I'm wrong, by the way.
Scott, I hope you're right, because I am far more pessimistic about the number of games we lose than you are.
Yeah.
I don't even think that like the real talks start until we've already missed games.
Yeah, frick. That's the way
I don't know, man. If If we have games played in April, I'm going to be shocked by that.
Yeah. 2020 did show what a bunch of blockheads this MLB commissioner office and ownership is. Like, 2020, they couldn't even settle on a few rule changes to make a season happen, let alone a collective bargaining agreement. So maybe you're right, man. Maybe I am being the optimist.
All right. So this one comes in from Twitter. This is Jackie Likey Jays. Great, great Twitter handle, by the way. Hey, guys. Blue Jays content is pretty scarce these days, which I found out quick when you boys didn't release a Friday show. Hope everything is okay for the mailbag. And this might be a dumb question, but what is a salary floor? And what will that mean if it goes into that new CBA?
Well, to start with, not a dumb question. Great question. So a salary floor. Let's start with the fact that one of the biggest problems Major League Baseball is facing right now, in my opinion anyways, is tanking. Mm-hmm. There are so many teams in the MLB currently tanking. So I went actually back and looked at 2021. 8 teams in the American League out of 15 played over 500 baseball. 8 of 15. 7 teams in the National League were above 500 last year. So 15 of 30 teams were worth watching. And let's be serious, man. 10 of those 30 teams were brutal. Like, just garbage.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say 10 of those 15 teams worth watching were in the American League East, because that's how it felt.
Yeah.
Felt like a pretty stacked division.
That's the case. It's, you know, like, and this is a real problem with baseball currently, is one-third of the league are fielding teams that are not major league teams. You know, their AAA teams are below average teams in an attempt to stockpile prospects. And it's not good for the fans. And a lot of it, when these teams decide to rebuild, they follow the Houston Astros model that worked so well, which is tear it all down, lose for years, stockpile high-end prospects, save your money for when those prospects become major league players, and then you build around that young core. Listen, this is a model that has been proven to work. However, it is a long, arduous process for fans. And it really does hurt the middle class in baseball. Okay, and this is where a salary floor could really help, because there's a lot. The mid-range free agents is who this affects the most. Okay, so good ball players. And I'm not talking all-stars. I'm talking everyday guys who have experience and get the job done. Guys that teams trying to lose. Now, obviously, teams aren't actually going to come out and say they're trying to lose, but let's be serious. The Pittsburgh Pirates are trying to lose, and they are stockpiling all of these prospects and getting rid of anybody with actual baseball experience. So these mid-range guys, again, legitimate players are being pushed to the bench, right? Bench players, legitimate Major League Baseball bench players are now being pushed to the minor leagues, because there's only a finite number of spots for players. So all of a sudden, if you start seeing teams like the Baltimore Orioles putting a bunch of prospects that probably aren't major league ready yet in an attempt to develop them, they're pushing these other guys that are real ball players and ready to go right now out of the league or onto benches. This is affecting the talent level and the quality of baseball. Like, let's talk just being a Jays fan. 2019, we all sat through 95 losses. It was brutal. Can you imagine sitting through 115 losses?
For years and years in a row.
I can't stand Baltimore, but to all the O's fans out there, tip of the hat if you actually followed your team last year closely. Like, they were garbage. So the talent floor can be raised in Major League Baseball, according to the MLBPA, in theory anyways, by raising the salary floor. So very much like the luxury tax threshold is trying to keep top spending teams in check by, if they put a minimum in, it makes teams spend. So the rumored number that the MLBPA is pushing for is $75 million per team that would be spent on salary. So if this was adopted into the new CBA, that would change so many things within organizations. And I mean how they operate. So the teams who are currently have less than $75 million committed to payroll in 2022 are the Cleveland Guardians, with $29 million committed to next year. Baltimore also has $29 million committed. Now, obviously, we're mid through an off season here, and not everyone is done with the heavy lifting. However, my guess is most of these teams I'm about to mention have very little left to do to add to these salaries, right? So $29 million for both Cleveland and Baltimore. Pittsburgh's at $34 million. This is for their whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put it in perspective, Garrett Cole's getting paid $35 million next year, right? Miami's at $55 million. Arizona's at $66 million. Seattle and Oakland at $71 million. Kansas City just under that $75 million at $73 million. So if this is implemented, think about the domino reaction that will take place throughout baseball. Let's take Cleveland for an example here, okay? Cleveland won 90 plus games 2016 through 2019. They had a 90 win plus pace in the shortened 2020 season.
Okay.
And they have only $29 million committed in 2022. Jose Ramirez is going nowhere, buddy. If there's a salary floor, all these guys that everyone keeps talking about, the Ketel Martes, the Jose Ramirez, these teams will have no reason to move them. Cleveland almost would need that $12 million they're paying Jose Ramirez next year on the books, right?
Yeah.
So some of these top-end guys who would have been moved in a rebuild trying to accumulate prospects, you might not see guys moved if there's a floor. So other teams all of a sudden need to do what? Start signing good ball players in free agency. Guys like Colton Wong, right? This was a guy who is just a solid ball player. Average to above average, but he does everything right. Milwaukee got him last year. I think it was 2 years, $14 million. Great price for a Colton Wong type player. And there's lots of guys like this. Guys that wind up getting pushed to the bench even, right? So I think it will raise the talent level, and it will change the way organizations do things. For example, how would this affect the Blue Jays? All of a sudden, maybe Randall Grichuk is a lot more movable. Look at a scenario like Pittsburgh, right? Let's say the Blue Jays wind up talking to their old buddy Ben Cherington, who is now the general manager with the Pirates. Obviously, he came and was poached from Toronto, so there is a relationship there. Maybe Cherington has his eye on Aroldis Martinez or somebody like that, right? And the Blue Jays go to them and be like, listen, we will give up this top-end prospect, but you need to take the money that is Randall Grichuk back. $20 million in over 2 years? Like, that extra $10 million, there's lots of these bottom teams, like a Miami who's at $55 million, who maybe they would. 2 years of Randall Grichuk isn't ridiculous because they're not going to contend for two more years. So it allows them to hit that floor salary, and it does provide a guy. Like, that's the thing. Randall Grichuk, I know us Blue Jays fans are sick of him, but if when they were a losing team, when they lost 95 games in 2019, he was one of our best players.
He should be an everyday starter on a bad team.
On a bad team, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Tying into that thought of MLB teams tanking, this kind of, I guess, also relates to the CBA and how far apart both sides are. MLB owners want expanded playoffs. More revenue is the obvious reason there. The MLBPA is resistant to the idea of expanded playoffs. And I guess the idea that they're, or the reason that they are resistant to expanded playoffs is they're worried about more teams in the playoffs means you know, you can be an Atlanta Braves. You can win 85 games and still make the playoffs. So where's the need to go out and, you know, acquire, trade for, sign to really build a dominant team, right? If you don't need to be a top four, top five team in the league and you can just get in, you know, what's the motivation? I don't understand that reasoning, Scott, because I'm completely the opposite perspective, yeah. Where I, instead of looking at it as, well, you can get in with 85 wins, so who cares? I feel like it would have the opposite effect, where now the teams who are, you know, 83 win teams and feel like maybe what's the point in even spending any money? We're mm-hmm. never going to win the division, right? Mm-hmm. If there was...
Well, let's look at this then. There's currently 10 teams in Major League Baseball that make the playoffs.
Right.
We just talked about how 15 teams win more games than they lose. Mm-hmm. So there's a playoff race for 10 spots between 15 teams. So right. If we... I think the number of teams is important. I don't particularly wish to see them go to a system where it's like the NBA or the NHL and 16 teams make it. I don't think there's any reason to play 162 games and watch a 78 and 84 team play in the playoffs. I think that's crazy. However, I do think you're right. I think that if we were to go, let's bump it two more teams. Let's go 12 teams. I think you're right. I think those teams that it won't just be the three teams that are above 500 that are still fighting for that spot. I think we will see that bottom, you know, the tanking that's going on shrink if there's more opportunity to get into the playoffs. I think you are correct on that.
I do think that's a big part of it, right? Like if you are the, let's say the LA Angels and, you know, you're chasing the Astros, you're chasing the Mariners, who, you know, are both 90 win teams, and you're looking at what the fuck are my chances? Excuse my language. Yeah.
The hot stove becomes more exciting, right? Like you're about to touch on this, right? Like think about how much more fun the trade deadline is going to be for more teams.
For sure, right? And if you feel like you're too far out of it, then yeah, there is an incentive in the last half of the year to just say, you know what, frick it, let's just try and tank and get as good of a draft pick as we can, mm-hmm. right? And I think, okay, this is a wild idea. This solution probably creates more problems than it solves, but what if, to like demotivate from tanking, right? Right now, the worse you finish, the better your draft pick, right? So if you finish dead last, you're picking first overall. What if instead it was just first overall was the best team, like the first overall draft pick was the best team to miss the playoffs, and then it went down from there. So if you just missed the playoffs, well, congratulations. You're still, you're getting the second overall draft pick. So if you're on the outside, there is that motivation to... you know, go chips in and still push for the playoffs, right? Like,
I think that's an interesting idea. I think where you're going to run into the roadblock is with these small market teams that maybe don't have the same amount of...
Of course. Know, that's their only chance
to
at...
create this cycle of losing where we just see teams like the Pirates just constantly lose, right? And never have a chance at winning.
That'd be all right, too.
You're like, we're a Blue Jays podcast? Yeah. Screw the Pirates.
Yeah, screw the Pirates. Screw the Orioles. Yeah. No, I know that it's not like a realistic solution, but I don't know. All right, let's move on from that. Enough CBA talk. So this one comes from our Discord. So SCTI in Discord dropped a link from our friends over at Ball Cap Sports about what a great fit Chris Bryant would be.
Right. I actually did see that, and by the way, if any of you Jays fans are watching Ball Cap Sports, check them out. They always are putting out some really cool Blue Jays and baseball content.
Yeah, he's live every day on YouTube. Jim's a great guy, so go check out Ball Cap Sports. and Drinker of Beer added to that Discord comment and said, I'd still prefer J-Ram, Jose Ramirez. However, if I have to settle for Chris Bryant, I guess I'll survive. LOL. How are you feeling about the needs for a left-handed bat on this team, whether it's as a switch hitter in Jose Ramirez or Chris Bryant? What do you think, Scott?
Well, so I want a left-handed hitter more than anything. I want a big lefty bat. I am positionally prepared to sacrifice to get that. You know, like if we need to do some weird stuff on the infield to make that happen. Chris Bryant is a great player. He's 30 years old. He has a track record. He's got pedigree. You know, he's a dude who back in 2015 won Rookie of the Year. He won Most Valuable Player in 2016. He dealt with a lot of the pressure that some of these kids on this Blue Jays team are going through right now. He's a World Series winner, four-time All-Star. I mean, Chris Bryant is an elite talent. He's a righty bat. Now, last year he did finish with a 3.3 wins above replacement. He hit 25 home runs. Again, positionally, he fits with the Blue Jays. My biggest knock on Bryant really is that he's a righty bat, and I would prefer to see a left-handed hitter in this lineup. If they go out and get Chris Bryant, I will, very much like Drinker of Beer, just need to deal with it, I guess. I'm...
Yeah, I mean...
How about yourself? Where are you?
Well, I'm going to get roasted for this, but again, like, I don't buy into the left-handed guys can't, like... I know it's a thing. Statistically,
deal, dude.
Like,
it makes so much of a difference.
I know. Okay, like, it does. If all things being equal, sure. Give me the left-handed bat. But I would rather have a great... I'm not trying to say Chris Bryant is a great hitter. He's a really good hitter, right?
And a big bounce back year last year.
And a big bounce back year. But if my options are... And I know this is kind of like a lopsided argument, but if my options are a great right-handed hitter or a, like, Kevin Biggio left-handed hitter, give me the really great right-handed hitter. Like, I would rather have 9 Bo Bichettes in our batting order than 5 Bo Bichettes and 4 Kevin Biggios.
Yes. No, there's obviously some logic to what you're saying, and obviously the analytics and the splits, it varies player to player, and not every lefty is the exact same, and not every righty is the exact same, and blah, blah, blah. I get your point. Me, I want a lefty, though.
9 Kevin Biggios. Or no, sorry. 9 Bo Bichettes. 8 Bo Bichettes.
All Kevin Biggios, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So this next one.
8 Kevin Biggios and someone who can play third. How about
that? Right. All right. So this next one is kind of just like an open debate that kind of went down in our Discord. It's funny, like our Discord will just be quiet for a few days, and then one person makes it like a kind of a hot take, and it really flares up, and you can tell that like everybody's just dying to talk baseball. So it's great. Yeah. But there was a bit of a debate about Jordan Groshans, and you know, is why is everyone so high on him is basically the takeaway I got from reading this thread here. A lot of people, I mean, I think ourselves included, are big Jordan Groshans believers. Obviously the Jays are, or else they wouldn't have got rid of Austin Martin last year. Is he overrated? He's 22 years old, Scott.
Okay, that's a great point. He's 22 years old, and he just turned 22 in November.
Right.
And I'm going to jump in here. You can finish your thought. Okay, so...
Go ahead.
We're spoiled.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the takeaway. We're spoiled. We're used to our top prospects being...
Absurd.
World beaters at 22, you know? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, why hasn't Jordan Groshans played in an MLB All-Star game yet, if he's so good, is the takeaway, right? Like... How many gold gloves does Jordan Groshans have?
Okay, so let's start with this. Every prospect is a question mark. there's a reason why prospects are given up by major league teams all the time, because if you can get a major league ready player for a guy who hasn't played yet, he may never play. Now, one thing I did wish to bring up about Jordan Groshans is I really don't think he is overrated. I don't think he's underrated. I think he's just being scouted properly. This is a guy with five tools. He has a high ceiling on him. He's only 22 years old. He played AA last year, and every level that Jordan Groshan has played at, he has struggled early on and then become dominant. Last year, you look at his numbers from the start of the AA season in late April until the end of June, and you're like, what is wrong with this guy?
Guy's a bust.
If you look at Jordan Groshan's numbers from July 1st on, he's hitting over 330. Mm-hmm. And he's showing all sorts of power. And if you look at his doubles, he is hitting doubles all over the field. He's going to go to AAA next year. He's probably going to struggle. And then you keep an eye on him and see if he can recorrect and readjust to that next level. So far, so good with him.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know how many guys find it at 25?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is still so young. Not every guy is Bo Bichette, and at 23, everyone's like, you know what? Like, he's going to lead the league in hits, and we can still tear him apart defensively, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think
Aaron Judge didn't have his breakout season until he was 25.
Mm-hmm.
People forget, like, ball players take a while to develop, and yes, this league constantly skews younger and younger.
Yeah.
But that's player by player. Right, there's still lots of great ball players who break out at 26, and us Jays fans should be used to this. I mean, yeah. We're the team that celebrated 2015-2016 playoff runs with Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, some of the latest bloomers around.
No, absolutely. I think another guy, not quite the same story, but Nate Pearson kind of fits into that.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, I wouldn't say he was a can't-miss prospect. He was a first-round draft pick. I think he was 28 overall. What's he, 25, 26 now? I mean, we've seen some hurdles.
He's 24. He's 24.
So we've seen some bumps in the development along the way, but like, and I think both of us are, you know, starting to kind of like, okay, it's time to, you know, put up or shut up for Nate, but like, it's... Not everyone is going to be Alec Manoa. Like,
development is not linear, right? Like, not everybody has the same path, and not everything is a nice, gentle graft upwards. Sometimes there's dips down and sharp increases. And
well, and that's the Alec Manoa comparable, right? Is I don't think in 2019 anybody had Alec Manoa as a higher ranked prospect than Nate Pearson.
Nope.
Right? Like, sometimes it just clicks, you know?
Yeah,
like,
clicks.
Whatever. A guy struggles with control, or another guy finds it, or another guy fixes this pitch, or whatever he was doing, right? And, yeah, Jordan Groshans
is not a finished product, by the way. Like, who knows? He could have some struggles. He is also 23. Yeah. Like, Alec Manoa's development is not done.
Well, there you go. If he has a setback this year, it's Scott's fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. I don't think he will. I think he's going to continue to improve. I think mentally, yeah. Alec Manoa is far above his years. However, we just talked about development, and if he has a bump in the road, then we'll see where he's at, right?
Absolutely. All right. Last thing here comes in from Discord as well. This comes from Angry Pomeranian said, are you guys planning on doing any live streams again this season? I really miss those, hanging out in chat.
Yes, yeah? We are. I love that idea. Yeah. I mean, I had a ton of fun with live streams last year.
I think, we'll be here every Tuesday once the season kicks off, whenever that may be.
Whenever that may be. I know what we did last year is we were doing the mailbag live prior to the game, and then we would upload the mailbag after the game, and then we'd all live stream together. Probably going to keep the same sort of format.
Yep.
I know Angry Pomeranians, actually Caitlin out of Scotland, and that was one very fun thing about the live streams is all the expats that were joining us, Derek from Panama, and you know, Phil from Australia, and we had guys, whenever Hyunjin Ryu was pitching, we had about a dozen South Koreans following us. You know, like it was fun, and I think we're definitely going to do that again. So stay tuned for the ball season.
We might also be adding a second live stream throughout the week that won't be you and I, but I know we've partnered with Joel, Hey Commie from TikTok, you may know him as. So we're still kind of working out the kinks with bringing him on board. We've also talked to a few other content creators, and what we might let them do is do a live stream takeover once a week just to provide more options for you guys as viewers and everything to hang out. So, and then I'm sure you're getting sick of our ugly mugs on the screen all the time too, so a little variety always helps out. That being said, we do have a new show starting on Sunday, January 30th. We don't have a title, and I know Scott and I are both great with our titles for special shows, hence the mailbag being called the mailbag. But we do have a long-form roundtable discussion with other Blue Jays creators.
Some show ideas are long-form roundtable.
Long-form roundtable, yeah. it's great for the search engine optimization for sure. But I know we've talked about that before. Basically, it's going to be Scott and I and, you know, some other YouTube
Jays
creators.
And baseball content creators. Yeah.
Some TikTok guys. I know Joel's going to be involved. Some of our recurring guests and friends of the show who we've had on in the past. I know, like, Trevor Freeman, we're going to have on the show. Just some of these guys that are really fun to talk baseball with. So we're looking forward to starting doing that. The point of this little rant that I've just gone on is that we are, with our growth, looking to kind of expand and take on some more help. So if anybody is interested in, I guess, helping out with some stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
My AirPod falls out. We are looking for some unpaid internships, so to speak. So we'll have a job posting of sorts in the Discord. That'll be up later today. So if anybody... Basically, all you need is an interest in participating. You need to have, like, a computer that you can... You can run things through and be somewhat tech.
You will need a computer, yes.
You will need a computer. You can't just mail it in. a fax machine won't cut it. But a PC with halfway decent specs and be somewhat tech savvy yourself. As much as I love Scott, I'm not training another Scott how to work a Zoom call. So, anyways, there will be a quote-unquote job posting for that later today. Basically, your role would be to be moderator of our Discord and to do the hosting of our live streams, which would be a big help in the event that I'm not able to make it and I'm sick or have family commitments.
Food poisoning or whatever the case may be.
Or whatever, just fighting with my wife. You would be the central host. You would help us while we are in our live chats, kind of moderating and viewing for good questions to contribute and stuff like that. So, there will be a job posting up later today in Discord. Go check that out and send Scott or I a message if you're interested, and we'll go from there. So,
all right, gang, thank you so much for tuning in. We do apologize missing that Friday cast. Adam is doing much better. I'm back in the country. We're ready to rock and roll again. So feel free to drop us a message on Twitter at Walkoff Podcast, on Instagram, the Walkoff Podcast, or TikTok. We really appreciate all of you who have tuned in audio wise our numbers continue to go up there, and we do really appreciate you doing so. Obviously, you can hit subscribe on Spotify, Apple Music, Google. Hitting subscribe really does help us, and leaving any comments really does, or ratings, I should say, really does help us, so that would be appreciated. And, of course, to all the YouTube viewers, thank you so much for continuing to help the channel grow every single week. It is appreciated. Have a great night, everybody, or day, or wherever your time zones are. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.